This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Just want to speak today what God is saying, and I'm here to tell you that if you are someone, you're someone that people are saying right now that you're not going to make it, come on. This word's for you today. If you've made many mistakes in your life, and the enemy's even telling you, yourself, that just sometime at some place you're going to fall down and I'm going to get you again, this word's for you today. I believe that God is calling out for his people in this hour. And I'm telling you, if you've made big mistakes and if you've messed up and you've just blown it. And I'm telling you, the world doesn't even give you a chance. My God wants to pick you up off of your knees. And he wants to use you. And he wants to rise you up amongst the people that don't believe in you anymore. The people that you've cheated. Come on. The people that you've taken from. Come on. I know what it is. The people that you've done wrong. The people that are saying, well, he's just doing this. Or the people that maybe said it's jailhouse religion. Or the people, come on. People are always going to say stuff. Even your own family's going to say stuff. But God today is going to raise you up out of the miry clay. God has you in here for a purpose, for a reason. God has you here right now because he's going to speak to you about what your life is going to be to those people that say you can't do it. Come on. See, it's not just our strength. I can't just say, oh, they're all against me. And I'm going to prove it to them. I'm going to show them. I've tried that before, and I've fallen right down on my face, and I was right back into place. It's not about me showing them. It's about me allowing the presence of God to come inside of me and let my life be a spectacle to them. Amen? If you have your Bible, it's 1 Corinthians. As I read Paul's letters to the Corinthians church, I stop and think about these words that he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. He says, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the spirit of power. You know, when I was younger, and I'm getting older, when I was younger, I used to just pray, God, give me a word that's going to shake the house today. Come on. Any preachers in the house today? God, give me a word like Pentecost that people are just going to feel the whole building shake. Let the smoke come from heaven with the words that I'm going to speak. Come on. Man, I used to be on my hands and knees and say, God, these words are your words. I want these words to just, and you know, it was good intentions. It was good things. But I'm here to tell you, in the word of God, as we read Paul and what Paul's word is and what he says, a demonstration of power, you didn't see a whole bunch of shaking of the buildings. You didn't see a whole bunch of smoke coming down. You didn't see a bunch of that. Paul's letters to the Corinthians, you don't find these experiences. There were no one being slain in the spirit. No mention of houses being shaken. Instead, we find Paul preaching. And you know what Paul preached about? Paul preached about everyday concerns. These are some things in Corinthians, such as carnality, strife, marriage, divorce, proper dress. Come on, he spoke about proper dress. Come on. Giving, the care of widows, maintaining order in the church services. Paul was preaching these things, common words that we think that are common, that no building shook, that no smoke came, but for some reason, for some way, there was a demonstration of his power, God's power, as Paul spoke. By Paul's own admission, he had no charisma. His voice wasn't commanding. And he confessed to trembling during the preaching many, many times. The word says, I was with you in weakness and in fear. Watch out. That's power there. And in much trembling. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3 says that. So where was the demonstration of the spirit of the power in Paul's life? Where was that demonstration? We've heard this. I've prayed this. God, my words are not so elegant And I'm telling you, there's men and women in the pulpits today with elegant words leading people with just elegant words. Man, because they can sound good and they can preach good and it can sound so good and we can put all of it together. And people are leading in that type of way. And they're leading, going, and they're going nowhere. It's not about the words that we speak. It's not about how great we speak them. Praise God for great communicators. Praise God for these things. But it's nothing about this. It's about the power of God's demonstration. He explained this. I didn't come to you with the strategy or the methods of men. I came to you with the mind of God. And I spoke a simple, direct message that went straight to your heart. Come on. I'm here to tell you, with the power of God's demonstration on your life, without it, without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit just pumping in your life, your words are going to fall down to the ground to people's lives. I'm telling you, words are not going to answer people's situations right now. We're living in a world where the world and society has come to a place where people are so desperate, they don't even know what they're desperate for. And words, self-help books, these type of things are not going to cut it in this hour. It's going to have to be a demonstration of power. That with words that we speak, simple words, but there is a power of the Holy Ghost that's backing those words that people are attracted to. It's going to be the attraction of the Holy Ghost that's going to come into them. Not by my words, God, but by your words. Not by my strength, God, but by your strength. And God has just called us to claim, to call in this hour to be bold for him and allow him to increase and allow us to decrease. Look around at society. People are sin-sick, stressed out, despairing. With many at their absolute limit, desperate for answers. They don't want to hear arguments or advice from another self-help book. Come on. The only way this world will be touched by the standing, the only way this world will be touched is by standing face to face with a life, with me or you, that demonstrates the Holy Ghost power. That's the only way that people are going to be changed. That God in my life, God, you have created something in my life, God, because I've pressed forward. Let me tell you, pastors and preachers, and I've done this before, that are speaking about revival, feeling and believing that one day a revival is going to come to this city. They're not preaching what the word has said. I believe that revival comes, but I believe it comes first in me. I believe that it comes in his people, and that's what restoration is. There are people here in this ministry that have been restored, and I'm telling you that they're in revival. Everywhere they go, they're touching people. People are coming to them. It's not about one day a revival's coming. Revival is here, and it's here in front of us. Many people speak about 2 Chronicles 7:14, and it's people say that it's a recipe for revival. I understand recipes. I understand these things. But it's a little bit more than just words. Where it speaks about fall down on my knees to humble myself. Come on. It's a little bit more difficult to humble ourselves than just to say it. To fall down on my knees. Some of us were on our knees today, but we pop back up on our knees, on our feet, and we keep going. What this is speaking of, it's speaking of a great restoration that's going to come over his people. A great restoration that when I come in humble, when I'm a humble person and I fall down on my knees and on my face on the floor, I allow all of my junk to leak out and allow him to fill me up with everything that he has. Until I get up, I've been on the floor for years. Come on, people. I've been completely broken. I couldn't even get up off of the floor. And I had to say, God, this must be what you're talking about. I'm going to fall down on this face until you can pick me up. I will not get up until you get me up. You will restore me. I will be restored in you. You will pick up every piece of me and you'll put it back together. And I'll be more beautiful than I ever was when I was broken. Come on. There's some broken people in here today. Let me tell you what happens in that. That's what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. To fall down on our faces with humility. When we fall down on our face with humility and we allow him to restore us, God is about restoring his people. He's not about throwing away anything. He's about taking you right where you are. No matter what the generations in front of you have done, no matter what the sin that's come through the second or third generation to you, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter where you've been, no matter if you've spent the last whatever time in prison, no matter if you've done this, come on. He's ready to pick you up. He's ready to pick you up and put the pieces together, and he wants to restore you. And I'm here to tell you that I walk in this town and there is revival going on in my life because of the restoration of God in my life. It's not going to be that one day a revival is just going to flood in here and everybody's going to grab it. A revival is going to come in here when we are revived, when we're restored. And the people will come and they'll come and they'll see something. But what they'll see is they'll see a God's people that have fallen down on their faces, that have been restored, that have been broken to pieces. And he's put them back together. And he's the one that's put us back together. There's nothing in the world that could have done it. Mr. Linares, we're praying for you, brother. And just losing your wife. She was more than just a wife. A member here at Church of Living Waters for so many years. Mr. Linares, we can love you. Your daughters can help you. Your family can help you. But brother, I know that you know this, that only God is going to pick you up. He's going to be the only one. And as we cry out to him, he will hear our cry. And there's going to be, when you are restored in this, and there's seasons, there's a time of this. And the time is what you're going through right now. God is here with you. But there's a season, Mr. Linares, that you're going to rise up. And you're going to be restored. And your eyes and your heart's going to be filled with heaven. And you're going to have this. You're going to say that I'm passing through. God, I don't know how much longer I have. But as long as I have on this earth, on this world, I'm going to do everything and anything I can to promote your kingdom until the day that you call my name. And that day is going to be a glorious day. It's going to be glorious. Daniel, I praise God for you. Praise God for the restoration that's happened in your life. There's a revival breathing on the inside of you. I'm telling you, that restoration is going to breathe revival and it's going to explode all over you. George, my friend, man, I'm not going to embarrass you. There's revival on the inside of you. There's restoration that God has for you, that as you allow him to put you back together, just like we all have had to do, just like I'm having to do now, that there's going to be something that he's going to do in your life that the world is going to be looking at and saying, wow, only God could do that. Only God could put Darren back together. Only God could put Mr. Linares back together. Only God could do this to Rufus. He couldn't have done it for himself. Only God could do it. And Rufus is understanding and knowing it was only God. Without him, I would be nothing. Without him, I would be broken. Without him, I would be in slavery. Without him, come on. It's his freedom. Let me press forward. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:9. He says, we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. And I'm here to tell you that God has called me in this message. You're being led in a message that God's called me in. And since he's called me in this, he's probably called the body in this. That God is creating us as Church Living Waters, as individuals, as a spectacle. The Greek word for spectacle here in this verse means this. It means a theater. The translation is, God is going to turn your life into a theater. He has put you on stage, and the audience is the entire world. Here's the role he has scripted for us. We are fools for Christ's sake. 4:10 says that. In the world's eyes, we but a fool who would follow the difficult ways Paul lays out. For in the preceding verse, Paul explains, I think that God hath set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. Paul speaks of great trials, afflictions, persecutions. He even speaks of death, hardships that a select number in Christ's body are called to endure. Come on. I'll say it again. He speaks about some pretty difficult things. I'm here to tell you this morning, I know you as a pastor. There are things that have went on in this body with you and your families, with things that have happened that are terrible things. God did not just leave you while you went through that. He's just not going to leave you as the enemy screaming in your ear. That's where you're going. See, I had someone tell me the other day, he was telling me about drugs, and the only drug that I've had is Jesus, and it's pretty good. I don't know. I stand in front of you and say that. I was also drugged a lot in my life. I was drugged to church every Sunday. So I know about those kind of drugs, but the others I don't know too much about. But I was witnessing to it. And you know, we cannot witness with just words, people. I don't have no words to tell nobody. How can I stop someone and say, I want to speak to you? It has to be a demonstration of power that's on the inside of me coming out, or it's not going to be anything. And he looked at me and he said that I've been strung out on drugs, and he pulled up his sleeve and he had all kinds of whatever they're called marks all over his arms. And he said this to me. He said, this is too good for me to go serve God halfway. Come on. You don't know how it feels, but I'm telling you, I can't just serve God halfway. I'd rather serve this. And I don't want to just go to a church where half the people there are just playing games. He was just bully. I don't want to go to a place where pastor's in sin. I don't want to go to a place where people are doing this and people are doing that. I would rather do this. This is my high. You know what? This man had a lot of truth. This is the only high that he understands and he knows, and he feels there's nothing in this earth that's better than that. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus, in and through Holy Ghost people, is so much better than that. And I look forward to continue to speak into this man. And I believe, see, I wasn't there just to pull him here. He's right in a lot of ways. I'm praying for God to come and to save his life, to protect him. But I believe that he's going to come and sit with me on the front row in this ministry. And he's going to see and he's going to say that there is something different about this place. There's something different about this pastor. And I'm here to tell you that when he receives the drug of Jesus, it's going to beat this like he's never even imagined. He's going to be addicted to Jesus. Praise God. Paul speaks of these afflictions, persecutions, hardships that select number of Christ's body are called to endure. He says, you have heard my testimony. You know that I've endured infirmities, afflictions, persecutions. I have been made a spectacle before the world, the whole world, including angels, principalities, and powers. All eyes are on me to witness the battle and the outcome. Now God is appointing other believers to be in this same ministry. All who are godly will suffer some persecutions for the Lord's sake. But some, like Paul, are called to endure many sufferings and infirmities for the cause of Christ. I don't know if this is being preached in every church, but it's demonstrated in the Word, every page of it, that people are called by God, called by His name, that He will not leave us or forsake us. But the road that we travel is a small road. He says it's a difficult road, that there's two roads. There's a small and difficult road, and then there's a wide road. Where on the wide road, there's a lot of good things happening, a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. And he says that this wide road leads to destruction, and this small road, this difficult road leads to a place called paradise. I'm just passing through. I've been wounded. I can't tell you, after Wednesday night, after God moved in this place, over 400 people that knew the power of God, what happened to me on Thursday and Friday, being attacked by men of God. I'm not here to say who's a man of God or who's not a man of God, but I'm here to tell you we're known by our fruit. And our fruit is our character. And when we're squeezed and what's comes out of us is what fruit is. We have to understand that. That we have to know that in this hour, the Word of God speaks very clear that in this hour, there's going to be many people with a false gospel, many people with a false doctrine, many people that are speaking and speaking with elegance and speaking so well, and everything sounds so good, and it feels good, and it's this, but God has spoken to me this week, it's a man-made presence. A man-made presence that we can come and that we can make you feel good. And we can sing the best songs, and you can feel the nice music coming off of it and the beautiful voices. But I'm here to tell you, that's not going to heal you. That's not going to set you free. There's not a man in this world that has ever touched someone and healed anybody. only Jesus, and he was part man, he was full God. It's the power of the Holy Ghost, and it's the power of the living God that's going to come in his presence. And I'm here to tell you, there's something called a fake presence, and there's something called a manifested presence. And if you ever feel his manifested presence, there's nothing else that can compare to it. My little girl, Christina, at the age of 4 or 5, we were in Mexico pressing forward, and there was such a presence of God that was in that room. Anybody that was in that presence was healed, set free, delivered. We didn't have to pray over anybody. We didn't have to do anything. His presence fell down in that room. And at 4 years old, this is what was happening. It was late in the night. She was tired, and she was just kind of walking around. You know how some kids do. It was pretty loud in the place, so she wasn't distracting. And she would come up to the front, and when she passed the line, this was a line of his presence on the other side. She would walk, and she would start doing this. Right when she passed into that presence. And she would come out, and she would walk just plain. But I'm here to tell you, at 4 years old, there was something about that she liked. And it's like, why be over here when I could be... God really wants you to know and to understand that he's real. There's nothing a man can do that can bring fakeness. Let me just finish what God is saying here. Some believers face one agonizing crisis after another. Consider Job, who was despised by his friends because of his suffering. They told Job this, "You clearly angered the Lord." Obviously, there was some hidden sin in your life. God isn't ashamed to put these servants on stage before hell, angels, and all the world because he trusts them. They have patiently endured their trials in secret, holding on to faith through fires, floods, and storms. Satan still accuses this kind of saint today. There are people in this room that Satan is accusing right now. He's coming with a full onslaught. He wants you back where you were, trapped. You get out a little bit, and he's going to come, and he's going to slap you down. I know that. But I'm here to tell you, greater is he that's in me than that he's in the world. And I'm telling you, when I feel Satan slap me, or when I hear him screaming in my ear, and I'm telling you, men and women of God have him screaming in their ear. If he's not screaming in your ear, you might want to be careful. Because you're not advancing or you're not pressing forward. But when you start pressing forward, you start leading your family in the things of God, he is going to try to take you out. Come on. You're not being led by someone that's halfway in. I'm all the way in. I've lost too much. I've lost too much in the battle. And I'm not just in because I've lost stuff. I'm in because God is restoring back to me. And I'm telling you, there's something about restoration that I'm hungry for, that I'm running towards. He said, get on the horse, and in front of you, Darren, I have restore. I have restoration. I want you to get on the horse, and I want you to scream out, restore! Amen. And I'm here telling God, God, I don't know which way the horse is going. I don't know where restoration is. You say that if we catch the enemy, that if we catch the thief, you're going to return back 7 times what the enemy took. Come on. I believe that God is going to restore years back into your life. Years that you've missed with your children. There's a brother here that hadn't been able to see his kids in a couple of years. Brother, you catch that enemy that have stolen those years. You let God restore you. Those years will come back 7 times. I'm not here just standing on what I'm saying or what I know. I'm standing on the powerful word of God. I'm standing on a promise that God says, but so I've lost my mother. The enemy's taken my mother and my sister and my brother. So I'm on a horse and God is saying, restore. Where am I going, God? God, are you going to give me 7 moms? Come on, our natural thinking, all of these things. Lay all of that down and you just get on the horse and you just let God take that horse to restoration. Come on. You don't try to figure it out. All I know that I've been on this horse for a couple of years and I have brothers that are truly brothers to me. Come on. Only God can do that. I've been on this horse for a couple of years, and I'm telling you, anybody that comes and speaks into my life or speaks to me, there's healing that happens in their life. It's not me, it's God. Praise God. Are you prepared and ready? We've been handed a script for our part in the play. Paul spells out our role to all who are on stage. Everyone else on stage will be strong, but you will be weak. All others will be honorable, but you will be despised. You will experience hunger, thirst, nakedness. This is 1 Corinthians 4, 10 through 13. You will be pounded in the face, yet you will bless others. You will endure persecution. You'll be slandered. You will be made as the filth of the world, the outscoring of dregs of all things. Many believers have read the script that Scripture lays out, and they long to experience this true demonstration of the Holy Ghost's power, so they take a stand like Paul, saying, I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. I'm going all the way to enter the fullness of the power of Christ who's in me. That's when the curtain opens up. You're standing on stage, and suddenly your life is a spectacle to all. How do you react when the hardships Paul describes come to pass in your role? As you face afflictions, trials, is the love of Christ exemplified in you? Or do you turn away in anxious and in fear? Paul accused the Corinthians, I don't write this to frighten you. The apostle knew that once we set foot on stage, everybody listen, the Holy Spirit is with us and he will not abandon us. Instead, he comes upon us with power such we've never known. In our role of weakness, the Lord gives us strength. With God's hand upon us and Christ present in us, we are able to endure for the prize that's set before us. You know, of course, some believers have read the script and rejected it. Many will turn away from it. Let me tell you this, God did not call us to be in a comfortable life. He called us to be in a life of purpose and passion. If we're comfortable in the life that we live, God wants to allow us and ask us to pursue him. I'm not here to tell you that you're going to be beaten up, that you're going to be these things. I'm here to tell you, though, that the road is small and difficult. But I've been on the road now for a few years of small and difficult and hard, and I'm here to tell you that great and mighty surround that road. Amen. That when you understand your weakness and understand his strength, that you lay hands on people and they'll be saved and set free. Not just the look good people, come on. But people that are down and out, the people that are on the street, the people that are strung out. God wants to show his power. He wants to show off his power. He wants to take, that's why many of us are here. Many of us. We can come all the rest of the day and share testimony of how God set us free from this, set us free from this. Everything that's out there is in this house and it's been restored. And it's in through you. And you're a spectacle unto the world that you live in, unto your children. You're a theater that the curtain opens up. And you are watched by your people that are working with you. You're watched by your family. You're watched by the people around you. And God does not just put you there in that spot alone. God is there to help you. God is there to stand with you. God is there to continue. And let me tell you why you're on that stage. You're on that stage because nothing else will come into those people but by the power of the Holy Ghost, of me standing there, you knowing everything that I've been through, everything that's happened to me. You know what I am, but now you see who I am. You know what I was before, but now you know who I am as God's son. It feels like it puts a lot of pressure on us. But I'm here to tell you, God holds us up. God holds us up. There's going to be a time coming quickly. God keeps telling me. He keeps speaking over and over to me. He always has about the 11th hour. What a privilege to live in the 11th hour. But what a privilege that God has hand-selected us and our giftings and who we are to live in this hour that many, many people are going to fall astray. The word of God says that hearts are going to grow cold and that people that were doing great and mighty things for God are not even going to be serving God in this 11th hour. And I'm here to tell you, not just a little word's going to come and crack that cold heart, that frozen heart. Only the power of the Holy Ghost is going to come in. And we are carriers of the Holy Ghost. We're carriers. That greater is He that's in me, that the same Spirit that lives on the inside of me is the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It's more than we can imagine. It's more. It's more. Amen. Amen. Let me finish here. Here's the best news of all. We know the director of the spectacle. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, He has taught us how to play our role by His own example, His dramatic example at center stage. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Christ knows that our role in this spectacle is not easy, but He's gone before us. He's created a path for us, and we are to look to His example to draw encouragement. The Word says, "Consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners against Him, lest ye be wearied and faint your minds not." The Word of God is very clear in this hour. You hold up your heads. Hold the script up that God has written in your life. And He provides much needed intermissions for you, off stage, for you to come and for you to receive what God has. I believe this today. I believe that theater, that you're going to go out to the lunch places. No, a barbecue sandwich. We're going to see you and 30 people behind you. You're going to be 30 in the line. You're going to be looking because you're hungry, and you're going to be a spectacle to us. What happens to you when you're squeezed? What are the words that come out of your mouth? What happens to you when things happen that you can't control? What's your attitude? Come on, what happens to you when all hell breaks loose in your house? I'm not here to say that we're perfect people, but I'm here to say that we must call on His name, that He's the only one. He's the only one. You hear me say that all the time. You're the one, God. You're the one. And my worship, You're the one. You're the one, Father. You're the one that we worship today. You're the one that we believe in today. You're the one that's going to set captives free. You're the one, God. And He looks back at me and He says, "I'm putting you on stage, son. You know that guy that came against you Thursday that said all of that stuff about you? Come on, I know where we are. That most of it was just lies that just came from the enemy. We're not fighting against people. I'm not fighting against that guy. I'm fighting against a spiritual realm. And how was I able to receive when he was telling me that? There was a peace on me because I was a spectacle to that man. I was on stage to him. The enemy would have loved for me just to fall down and just blast back. Come on. But I'm here to tell you, when we put that phone down and there was no resolution because I was just attacked, there's something that's happened in that man's life the last couple of days because I was not normal what other people would have done. And it's only God that helps us do that. How can we turn our other cheek? Come on. You come and hit me in my face, hit me hard. We got some boxers in this place. Come on. I mean, you know, if I'm going up against a boxer, you hit me in my face, I'm falling down. I'm down. You don't have to hit me again. How can we turn our other cheek? How can we be last and not first? How can we be all these different things that the kingdom of God says that we are? It's because of His help. It's because of who He is. I've been called in ministry. And I praise God that you've given me the privilege, and my family, the privilege to lead you. It's a great honor to be your pastor. I don't say that loosely. I say that with words of conviction. I say that with words that I don't want to be a pastor that someone looks at and says there's lies in the pulpit. I want to be a man of integrity and have God's heart. I'm not perfect. You know that. But there's a heart of compassion. And I want to be on stage in front of you. I want to be on stage. And I want to have my script as God's servant. And I want you to see what God is doing in and through me. And I'm here to tell you, if I get off stage a little bit or off to the left or right, every one of you can come and speak into me. I would rather have someone speak into me as a brother and come help me as a brother than to chastise me or to speak against me to someone else. I would rather have someone come say, I'm coming after you, brother. I'm coming to help you. If I fall in sin, there should be 50 guys that come after me, not despise me, not say it's his fault. Come on. That's what the Word of God says. If something happens with one of my children, which God forbid, we're believing for world changers. But if something happens with one of my children, you should not despise me. You shouldn't say, let's get away from him because of that. You should run to me. And you should surround me. And you should love us. And you should love me. That's what the Word of God is. That's what happens in the house of God. The same way with you. If you fall into sin, you're not going to get talked about. Come on. You're going to be encouraged to be restored in all that God has for you. He's about restoration.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out colw.info.